Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
They had the patchouli going and everything and just...
All right, it's time for another Suburbs Pod Sports Report. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And Patrick, we are through the second round now of the American Band Madness Tournament bracket thing.
The Sweet 16 has been determined.
A set, yes. And now we'll be matchups, Sweet 16 matchups starting today. In fact, the first one went up this morning. If you're listening to this today on Sunday, March 19th, you want to get in right at the beginning of the Sweet 16. That first matchup already went up, and that's Beach Boys versus Talking Heads. Man, and last I checked the voting on that, it was like neck and neck. It was right
that
there.
Seems this is like what it's going to be.
This is a back and forth game. This is just, you know, up and down the court,
dead
right?
Heat. Yep.
So there's that. But anyway, we're going to look back at some of the second-round matchups, the results of some of the second-round matchups that have already taken place, and look ahead to some of the other Sweet 16 stuff that people will be able to vote on a little bit down the line. You can vote by going to facebook.com/suburbspod or go to Twitter @suburbspod, either or both of those places, if you want. I don't know if people have figured this out. You actually can place two votes, like as if it's like Chicago. and you can go on Facebook and Twitter if you want to do that. But anyway, we add them all up, and at the end of the day or the next morning, somebody advances is the way that goes. These are all American bands. Okay, now we have a couple of guest analysts here with us today to help break this down. One of them you heard a few episodes ago, and by the way, go to Suburbs. Or I'm sorry. Yeah, go to suburbspod.com and you can find the past episodes of these, which is really fun. Or wherever you listen to the podcasts and all that. But anyway, please welcome Harris King.
Hey, everybody.
There we go. Harris down there in South Carolina. Were people going nuts over Furman? Is South Carolina, right? Were people going crazy over that?
Yeah, Furman people were. I absolutely despise Furman, so I only wish them nothing but pain and suffering.
Okay,
so.
Got it.
But they have an assistant coach who's a Wofford Basketball Hall of Famer, a Sports Hall of Famer, who I hope Wofford will hire in the next day or two to be the head coach, because Wofford needs a head coach. So now that they're out of the tournament... And I was happy for him. He's a great, great guy. Tim Johnson is his name. So,
well, those sort of emotions that you talk about, a range of emotions really bubble up in March. That's what March is all about. Getting that all out of your system, right? So now, let me ask you one quick thing about Wofford. How big is the arena there for Wofford?
It's about 2,000.
Okay.
It's great because Jerry Richardson, the former owner of the Panthers who recently passed away, is a Wofford grad and played in the NFL, and he built the arena with his own money, and and it's the Jerry Richardson. It's the nicest mid-major arena in the country because of
Wow.
But he also built the art center that he put his wife's name on, the art center. And he just gave Wofford so much money that it doubled their endowment. So I know he clearly, as a person, what came out in the last 5 years is not the greatest, you know, as often is the case with these type of people. But what he's done for Wofford financially is amazing. So the arena, if you ever want to go see a cool basketball arena, I would recommend going to Wofford. See, and, you know, South Carolina's got a good arena, Clemson, stuff like that.
Yeah. So. But see, I think the small arenas like that are underrated. I think if you pack a place like that, it's really fun to go see a game in a.
Well, what Wofford had before was like a high school gym. There were seats on two sides, but the ends had no seats. You know, it was which I love too. You know, but the new place is just exquisitely nice.
Oh, that's great. That's really cool. Yeah. Okay,
it's very cool.
All right, and then also with this, you'll hear from him a little bit later, is Mike Coley. Hey, Mike.
Hey, everybody.
All right. So, Harris, we're going to talk with you first about the results from Region D in the American Band Madness. Second round results, there were four matchups there. And, you know, I think we got to start with this. There was an upset of a number one seed by 3 votes. This is, I believe, the smallest margin in this tournament so far. 3 votes. I think earlier there was a 5-vote difference in another matchup. But 3 votes, the Go-Go's over the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, this is amazing because the Go-Go's are 9 seed. So it's not like they're 15 or 16 doing this. This was the second round, but you know, they just I had all, you know, I figured that the Grateful Dead would win this. I said that on the last episode I was on, but the Go-Go's just have, you know, this power about them. They're a tournament team, apparently. You know, the Dead were looking to cause a major ripple in this tournament, but the Go-Go's keep telling everybody they've got the beat and they know how to play tournament basketball. So, I'm just amazed. The Go-Go's, like I said last time, too, people like to think that they're an MTV band or just had a couple of singles, but the documentary about them that came out recently just show who they are and what they are, that they're legitimate as far as songwriters, performers, and what they did together and what they did after were in separate entities. So I'm impressed with their showing.
I agree with you, Harris. I think that documentary just gave this band a real boost in the public perception, you know, in recent times. And then they got in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
I will say this. I went and looked, and the Go-Go's have more number one albums than the Grateful Dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's one, but still, that's more. It's amazing. Where are all the Deadheads? I thought the Deadheads, you know, were this mass of dedicated followers of this band. Where are they? They didn't show up.
They were stoned.
Okay, there you go.
They missed the deadline.
I mean, somebody had to say it. Thanks, Patrick. But, you know, they were...
If anybody was going to say it, might as well be me.
Yeah, they had the patchouli going and everything and just...
What day is it? Oh, no.
All right, there we go. Okay, so congratulations, Go-Go's. You guys move on. Let's go now to... let's go down to another one that was kind of a big upset. It was a 7-2, and that was mm-hmm. Blondie over the Doors.
Mm-hmm.
Blondie, I figured the Doors were going to win this because they just sort of had that classic rock power about them. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of the voters have been listening to the Doors for decades, even though they are divisive, but Blondie were so important when they came up in the 80s, and it doesn't hurt having a point guard like Debbie Harry leading the way for sure. You know, they came to play as well. The Doors, I don't know, they sort of play a slowdown game, and I think Blondie just went at them super hard. And then in the post game press conference, just said, you know, you can call me later. So.
What do you think about Blondie, Patrick? That's a band that you don't hear about them, but they're just kind of there in rock history. You know what I mean? Like, and beloved, I guess. Right.
I was going to say that there's a lot of love for Blondie. I know in our listenership and other places too. And there's something, I don't know, I always found there's something kind of timeless about their music. Yeah. It doesn't feel like, you know, it comes from a certain era when you listen to it. It's got those elements of 60s, yet 70s, and still some 80s in it too. And part of the, you know, their pedigree with the CBGB and the New York scene is impeccable as well. And they had a great drummer in that band. You know, that guy was one of the best underrated drummers, I think.
That's right.
And I would say, I mean, I watched this game like most people did probably, and I don't know what was in Jim Morrison's water bottle, but he kept, you know, I don't know if it was water in there because he got really sluggish in the second half. He couldn't do anything, but he started.
Yeah, I said the slowdown game, but, you know, I'm not sure either, but.
Yeah, it was weird.
That's right.
It was weird.
Okay, now let's see here. There was also a 6 seed that advanced. 6-3, Cheap Trick over Public Enemy.
Yeah, I figured this was going to happen, you know. Well, I take it back. I didn't figure this out. I thought Public Enemy was going to have the choice. And that might have been more me just sort of projecting my heart onto that matchup. Yeah. But, you know, Cheap Trick are just too strong. They're like the ultimate bar band. And, you know, they come to play. They play wherever. I think we mentioned that last time. You know, just nothing to hold them back. Public Enemy are great, clearly, but that's how the tournament works. Everybody's great. That's why they're there.
Yeah.
You know, but they were, you know, they were forced to surrender in the end, Public Enemy.
Okay, and then let's wrap things up here on these matchups with the Beastie Boys, which were a 4, or our 4. The Beastie Boys over the Temptations, a 5.
Yeah, this is not a surprise. There's been a little bit of controversy about bands like the Temptations or the Supremes, that they're not really bands. That's fine. I think they're legitimate and should be in the tournament, and they are, and they've shown fairly well, but the Beastie Boys as a 4-seeder, strong, and they really know what you want. I think they have a national championship type pedigree that could happen. We'll see how it goes, but we'll hear from Mike in a minute about the matchups going forward. But I really like the Beastie Boys going forward myself.
Yeah, I will agree. I'm interested to hear Mike's thoughts too. But they Beastie Boys could be the team that gets out of this region. They very well could be.
Yeah, I hear you. Scrappy team, for sure.
Yep.
They'll do whatever it takes, I think, to win. And they also have, you know, a couple different facets to their game. You know, they can do the rap, hip-hop stuff, but they can also do alternative rock. So, you know, whatever you need,
totally.
They can bring it out.
I've heard early rumblings they want to play the Go-Go's outside. They want to just play them, like, in Brooklyn or somewhere, like, on an outside court. They don't want to be inside.
Absolutely. That's the New York way, right?
That's right.
You want the chain nets. You want to hear that?
Oh yeah. Sound. Oh yeah. Rucker Park. They want to go to Rucker Park. You know,
there you go.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Harris, for that. And we're now going to turn our attention to Mike Coley, and he's going to help us talk about the upcoming matchups out of this region. And if there's anything else you see in the Sweet 16, Mike, you know, we can talk about that a little bit. But first, Mike, tell us, who is your college basketball team?
Syracuse University.
Nice.
A lot going on there.
Yeah. Boeheim leaving. I don't know exactly what you want to call it. Was it a resignation? Was it a retirement? Was it a firing? It's still kind of up in the air. And it's the most Boeheim way of ending his career, because it's just the way things have gone in Syracuse over the last 47 years that he's been at the helm. He's just one of those peculiar figures in college basketball. And he's still very beloved here. And he did take a position as a special assistant to the athletic director. So apparently he didn't get fired. And
yeah,
maybe he was just nudged a little bit to move along. But Adrian Autry, he's been with him for 12 years as an assistant coach. He's another former player. So we got another alum coaching the team, which is going to be great. And Jerry McNamara is going to be the first assistant. So keeping it in the family, which is the Syracuse way.
Well, I got to say, hell of a run. I mean, that's an insanely long tenure as a head coach in major college athletics.
Yeah, I mean, Syracuse is his life, and he's not leaving. He's not going anywhere. He's staying right here.
And I mentioned earlier with Harris, the small arenas, like at Wofford, you know, for example, Syracuse, yours is a little bit bigger.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Syracuse has set attendance records for decades, until the last few years, where the team has kind of fallen off a little bit. And the fans weren't packing the place like they had been, but I think they still have the on-campus attendance record of over 35,000 fans in the building. It's called the JMA Dome now. It used to be called the Carrier Dome. They just had a new sponsorship agreement for the dome.
Right. Okay.
Hey, have you ever seen any concerts there, Mike?
Yeah, actually, I saw Paul McCartney there on his last run through. I saw Pink Floyd there back in 87. I saw Billy Joel there. I saw the Stones there.
Wow.
Springsteen's coming next year, or this coming summer. The Chili Peppers are going to be there this summer.
Wow.
Motley Crue is going to be there with Def Leppard. So they're starting to wrap up the concerts again. They haven't done a whole lot recently, but yeah, there's been some cool ones. And the sound in the dome has always been historically kind of awful. There's a lot of concrete in there.
Yeah.
But for that McCartney show, it sounded incredible. We had seats directly opposite the stage at the far end of the building. And they just had lines of speakers going all the way down through the building. And so it made it sound awesome. And it was a great show.
I bet that was.
Very cool. All right. Okay, we ready to do this, Mike?
Yeah.
All right. So let's start here with looking ahead of the Sweet 16. People will be able to vote on these I guess later this week, right? So because Sweet 16 will go 8 days with a different matchup every day. So later in the week, we'll come back around to these bands. Let's start here with Beastie Boys and Go-Go's.
This is going to be a tough matchup. Go-Go's have this improbable run going, and now they're squaring up against the Beastie Boys. But you guys mentioned earlier, I think that momentum that was created in the tournament for them, I think, had to do a lot with the documentary and the Hall of Fame and their recent tour. And there's just like this newfound love for the Go-Go's, which kind of overtook the nostalgia for the Dead, who are doing their last tour ever.
Right.
But I really did think the Dead fans were going to show up, and it was a surprising victory for the Go-Go's, for me anyway. But knowing our fan base, knowing the Rockin' Suburbs fan base, I kind of thought maybe it would lean a little bit towards Go-Go's, but there are some Deadheads in our group here. And yep. So yeah, it was a surprising victory, and the margin of victory was it reflects that, what I was just saying.
Yeah.
But they aren't ready for a vacation yet, I don't think. But the Beasties, they got more heart like John Starks. They're hitting mad sparks. So pass the mic, because they're going to be rocking the whole park. Despite a relatively easy run to the Sweet 16 for the Beasties, they're going to sabotage the Go-Go's Cinderella run and send them on vacation.
All right, very good.
Nice.
Okay, and then the other one will be Cheap Trick and Blondie. Classic late 70s, early 80s matchup, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they both were very active and very popular around the same time. The boys from Rockford said hello there right out the gate as soon as the tournament opened. They just laid a smackdown on the Beer Drinkers and Hellraisers from Houston's ZZ Top. but they kept that momentum going. They didn't believe the hype behind Chuck Flav and the Bomb Squad defeating Public Enemy, and now they're in the Sweet 16. But ain't that a shame that they're now up against Blondie in a battle of two very highly influential 70s new wave bands, new wave-ish bands, I guess you could say. The tide is pretty high for Debbie and the boys. So I think they handily knocked off Green Day, and they brought the Doors run to the end. moving on to the round of 16. So I think Blondie is going to run their parallel lines defense as they have the whole tournament and pull off another victory. One way or another, I think the 7 seed squeaks by Cheap Trick in this classic matchup.
Wow. All right. All right. And then I just want to mention here for listeners. So now the Sweet 16 is set, and I mentioned that today, as you hear this, we have the first matchup for the Sweet 16 going. I'm just going to run through what those others are real quickly. So today is Beach Boys Talking Heads. And then after that, you'll have Birds versus Big Star, REM versus The Cars, Parliament Funkadelic versus Guided by Voices, Supremes versus Wilco, Nirvana versus Replacements, and then the two that we just mentioned here today. So get your votes in every day, right? You guys have any other thoughts on the tournament or this the Sweet 16 overall?
That Nirvana Replacements matchup is, it's got me really tugging. It's tugging both sides of my heart and my brain. And I don't know where to go with that one.
Well, like Jim said, you can vote twice, so you can split your vote.
I'll just cancel my vote.
And then you'll be okay. You'll feel fine.
Yeah, your conscience will be in a good place.
Yeah. I don't know. It's tough. This has been a lot of fun. So, I have to think what band I'm voting emotionally, like what band meant the most to me at a certain time in my life, which I don't do in life. I try my best not to do that kind of stuff, but with this, I am. So,
all right. Well, thanks very much, guys. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Harris.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
We'll be back with another update. Now, you should listen to Rock in the Suburbs every day, of course, right?
Every day.
So there will be new episodes, you know, on our normal schedule. But as far as these updates go, I think we'll come back at the end of the Sweet 16. So that'll be in another 8 days on this. All right. And as I mentioned, go to facebook.com/suburbspod or go to Twitter @suburbspod. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us,
Mike Coley.
Harris King.
All right. We'll talk to y'all later. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
I saw you standing on the corner. You look so big and fine. I really wanted to go out with you. So when you smiled, I laid my heart on the line.
Freeze up.
No, I think he did.
Mike, what happened?
Mike.